Well, it's my privilege to be able to introduce our campfire speaker for this week, a good friend of mine, Joe Reeves. Joe works as an associate pastor for two churches in the Michigan Conference. But I think it wouldn't be fair for me just to introduce him with just that, because that makes him sound so formal and distant. I want you to realize he's a really cool guy, and he's a fun-loving guy, and he's a special guy. You know, he has worked here at camp, I believe, as a counselor. Have you been a camper here? He has been a camper, so he is one of our own. He was once a camper like all of us. I'm reminded of an incident that happened a few years back. I was working as a counselor with his brother, Christian Reeves, and we had just gotten our unit to bed. Everybody was asleep. Well, not asleep, but you know, the cots are kind of creaking and everybody's kind of acting like they're asleep. And I hear this car driving up into guys' camp. And going, okay, that's a little bit odd. So I poke my head out of the tent. I think Chris was in a tent close by because he was out there too. And here comes Joe driving in his car. And he must have been really excited because all of a sudden he started honking the horn. And we may not have given him the warmest welcome. I think we were doing something kind of like this, because he got this really startled look on his face. I've got to tell you, Joe is a really inspiring individual. Not inspiring because of honking the horn, because he just... No, Joe, don't make me laugh like that. He's been an inspiration to me personally. He's been an individual I've looked up to, and he has been a powerful influence for me. And I think he's going to have some powerful messages for us, and I'm looking forward to what he has to share with us. So, Joe, the time is yours.
Do I need this one or that one? Okay. Thank you, Tanner. Tanner asked me if he needed to say anything in the introduction about me. And I said, you can say whatever you want about me, but just remember that I will get in the last word about you. So I'm glad that he behaved himself so far. We'll see how it goes this week. I've been looking forward to Young Disciple Camp all year. And I've been looking forward to hearing from you guys. Good evening, Young Disciples. That's what I'm talking about, and just very glad to be here, and that's exactly right. I've sat right there, but just remember that when I was a camper, the guys were on this side and the girls were on that side, so I sat right there. And I was wondering if there'd be anybody here from when I was a camper, and sure enough, James, we were campers the same year, decades ago. And then I was able to come back and work here a few years as a counselor, and I'm just so excited to be here to see how God's going to work this week. Amen? And I think it's going to be an interesting week. I had an interesting start to my day today. I've flown on airplanes all my life, and today was the most interesting flight I have ever been on. And I don't know how many flights I've been on, but when I took out of Detroit, these ladies came to sit by me, and right away, they're like, quick, where's the barf bag? And they couldn't find it, and they were panicking, and I quick found one and handed it to her, and that poor lady sitting by me threw up the entire flight on the way here for 3 hours straight. There was another lady sitting between us, actually, and I have never seen anybody so petrified of airplanes. She's like, just so you know, I'm probably going to cry. But I still wasn't prepared. As soon as the pilot put the airplane in reverse, you know how it kind of goes like that? And I mean, she just burst into tears and just bawled until we reached cruising altitude. I said, ma'am, have you ever flown before? Probably wasn't thing to ask. I don't make a very good counselor. And she said, yeah, I have last year, and it's a lot better this time, I promise, though. So Anyways, interesting things happen sometimes. And but I feel right at home here. Some of you probably don't know, most of you don't, but though I live in Michigan now, and I'm trying to get used to being called a Michigander, I grew up right here in this area, actually. My family lived about 5 miles that way growing up, and so I've spent a lot of time swimming in the Columbia River and on Lake Roosevelt, and so just feels so good to breathe this air and see these mountains. And Michigan doesn't have too many mountains. Anybody here from Michigan? All right, good. Well, there's lots of lakes there, so that kind of takes the edge off of it for me. So I've been having fun there for about 2 months, and they haven't fired me yet, so we'll see how it goes. And, well, you guys ready to be challenged at Young Disciple Camp?
Yes, sir.
You ready to study your Bibles? Why did you guys come to Young Disciple Camp? Probably lots of different reasons. Some of you came maybe because you want to improve your push-ups. Or maybe some of you, I came because I want to get more of a tan, but I'm going to have to roll up my sleeves here. Or maybe because you wanted a break from home for a week. Why did you come to Young Disciple Camp? Maybe you saw in the magazine all kinds of fun pictures of Young Disciple Camp. You thought, I better get on that. So I'm thinking there might be a couple serious reasons that you're here at Young Disciple Camp. And one would be that you're here because you want to have fun. Does that include anybody here? You're here, you want to have fun. That definitely includes me, so I'm expecting to have lots of fun this week. And also, I'm here hoping to make friends this week. Anybody here wanting to make friends? And you certainly will. When I went to Southern, I had 4 college students there that had been in my units here at Young Disciple Camp. And so the friends you make here, friends you can keep for life, and that you will run into in various places from here on out. And then I believe the third reason also that you chose to come to summer camp this year is so that you can grow spiritually. Is that true? And so at camp, we're going to play hard, and we're going to work hard, and study hard, and sleep hard, and laugh hard. And when you come here in the evening, I'm going to preach hard. Is that okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. And so I hope you listen well, because I have studied in preparation for these messages. I'm going to be sharing some of my personal testimony as well as instruction from God's word that can change your life. Amen? And we need it. We're living in a world that is a desperate mess. And we have lives that are broken already. And we need God. And we need Jesus more than anything else. And so I'm excited about this week because I expect to see God working on this campus this week. Amen? Because we've prayed for it, and the Holy Spirit has promised it, and the angels are around this campus. And so expect this week, a deep Bible study, and in your units, and at campfire, to be challenged spiritually, and accept the challenge. And let's pray that God will... Let's just dedicate this week to God, and I'm going to dedicate this evening and this message to Him. If you want to close your eyes as I pray. Dear Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit to guide us as we look at your word. And may our hearts be drawn towards you. Give us sharp minds and soft hearts to receive your word, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, what did you bring with you tonight? Can you hold them up? You have them with you? Some of you are fishing around. Some of you are looking nervous. Get those Bibles open to the first book of the New Testament. Which book would that be? Matthew. That's right. Matthew chapter 16. And Tanner introduced me as... is working in Michigan as a pastor, and I've been doing that for 2 months. I went to studied in 2006 at Amazing Facts Center Evangelism. I worked a couple years as a Bible worker in Wisconsin, did some evangelistic meetings there. I'll tell you stories about evangelism that are going to be exciting this week. So you're going to hear about missions. And then I studied at Southern Adventist University for a few years and worked there a year. And when I came to Michigan, some people had a really hard time. I don't know. When I was at camp meeting, there's this older gentleman I met, and he heard somebody refer to me as pastor, and he said, "What in the world?" He said, "Are you a pastor?" He said, "How old are you?" I told him, he said, "Stop lying to me. You just graduated from high school." And so I have to call my church members around to defend me then. But when I was also at Michigan camp meeting, I was preaching to the teen tent, and some of them had a really hard time. Some of the girls came up to me after I was canoeing. They said, one of the girls came up to me, she said, "I'm Pastor Joe. Can I ask you a question?" I said, "Sure. You can ask me a question." She said, "When you were in school, did you get teased because you were so short?" I said, "No. I was actually the tallest person in my school." And she said, "Really?" "Certainly." So that's one of the advantages of homeschooling. There's a lot of advantages of homeschooling. So I did okay academically too. I graduated at the top of my class. There are a few disadvantages though. I found out with homeschooling that now that I've gotten some space between when I graduated, that the class reunions are really boring. But I guess she understood me when I told her that Zacchaeus was my favorite Bible hero. And so let's look at Matthew chapter 16. The word of Jesus here in red letters. And as I read this verse, I'm just impressed with that this world has nothing to offer. And the world is very glamorous sometimes, and we're tempted by the trinkets of the glitter of this world, and our heart is drawn out after the world. But you know that the world has nothing to offer, and the lady I was sitting with on the second flight this morning, I had an interesting conversation with her. I was actually sitting with Nathan here. I met him on the airplane. Actually, on the airplane from Denver to Spokane at 8:30 this morning, how many of you were on there? There was about 10 of us. We took over that airplane. It was pretty fun. So this lady was a teacher from Aurora, Colorado. Anybody ever heard of that place before? Anybody know anything about that place? You know anything about what happened in Aurora, Colorado last week? That's where the shootings were. If you're watching the news, that happened last week, where this man went into the theater and opened up fire with several guns, killed dozens. And this school teacher I was sitting by, she had students that were in that theater that had gotten injured. And this world is just one disaster after another. And I told her what we were doing, what I was doing. She said, "Well, what are you speaking on tonight?" And so I told her about how this world has nothing to offer. This world will disappoint us. And she said, "Oh, that's for sure." And so in Matthew 16, in verse 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains what? The whole world and loses his own soul or his own life? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, Then he will reward each according to his works. So what is it to a person? What is it to you if you gain the whole world, but you lose your own life, eternal life, your own soul, and Jesus Christ? And this world only brings heartache anyways. And even though we're so young that we haven't experienced a lot of the heartache in life that people go through, we see it everywhere. And when I was young, one of the moments that kind of rested on me that this world was not worth pursuing is when I was call portering. Anybody ever gone canvassing before? Amen. And one of the best ministries I ever did. And if you get the chance, do it. Amen?
Amen.
And I was in California and knocked on this person's house. And this lady answered the door. And I showed her some books. The second or third book was Peace Above the Storm. And what does it say in the canvas? This book will help you find freedom from worry, guilt, and fear, right? You know it. And as soon as I said that, I just saw this cloud pass over her face. And so I knew that she responded and had experienced some kind of worry, guilt, and fear. So I didn't go on to any of the other books. I just kind of settled on that one to explain it a little bit more. And then she invited me into her house, and then I showed her all the books, and I was visiting with her, and there was this picture on the credenza of a nice-looking teenage girl. And so I asked her about the picture, the girl in the picture, and she said, oh, she said, that was my 16-year-old daughter that died in a car accident a year ago. And as soon as she said that, all the little sisters came around and they wanted to hear what we were going to talk about. And she said, yeah. She said, my daughters, they've just been talking about angels all the time. I had the book Angels Among Us, and I showed her that one. And she said, you know, they've just been having such a hard time losing their older sister. And so I showed her the books, and she bought all of them. And then on the survey at the end, at the end of the sale, we do a survey, right? And these community services that are offered, and I was reading through them, and as soon as I got to stop smoking, this lady's daughters, the little girls, they were just high. They're like, "Yo, mom, please sign up for Stop Smoking. We don't like you. We don't like you smoking. Please sign up." It was really kind of funny, maybe even a little bit awkward. And so she's like, okay. And she signed up, and we gathered around and held hands and had prayer, and she requested Bible studies. And I left that home, and I never saw or heard from her again. But for some reason, that lady's face was just on my mind a lot after that. And that was just one of those tender moments when I was 16 that help me realize that this world, the things people go through here, they're dealing with grief and they're dealing with addictions, and people are longing for something more. Have you noticed? And guys, we need Jesus. Not only is this world broken, but you're broken without Jesus. And our hearts are a mess. Our hearts are rotten without Jesus. And already, at a very young age, we're struggling. We're battling spiritual battles with anger, with addictions, with choices that we're making. Let's look at two verses in Matthew 5. In Matthew chapter 5, and I just spoke about the killer in Colorado. And we think, oh, it's terrible. How could a person ever shoot at innocent people and that kind of murder. But notice what Jesus says about murder in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 21. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Jesus says whoever murders is in danger of the judgment, and whoever is angry with his brother is in danger of the judgment. Jesus is equating being angry with a brother without a cause with murder. And that's already what we're struggling with. We get so angry sometimes, our faces turn red, and we don't know how to respond in our family. I mean, just as simple as can be, when mom asks us to help in the kitchen to do the dishes, you know, we ignore it until finally, a day or two later, there's a blow up and we're in an argument. And you guys, we need Jesus, don't we? We do. And, you know, even though we may go to good schools or we may be homeschooled, and even though when we go to church, people think that we're an angel, we still are battling with stuff. We've closed the curtains in our bedroom, shut the door, looking at stuff we don't want anybody else to know about. We need God's help already, don't we? And I believe that's why you're here this week. Because Jesus wants to live in our hearts at a very, very, very young age. And when I talk about this age thing, anybody here ever built a house before? Or you have, maybe your father is a contractor. You don't have to be a contractor to be smart enough to answer these questions. And when you build a house, what part of the house do you start with? The foundation. I thought you started with the roof. Okay, are you sure?
Yes.
Okay, so start with the foundation, and then what should we put next? The floor? Okay, got the floor on. Looking good so far. What should we put on the house next?
Walls.
Okay, put up the walls, get those all framed up. What are we gonna put on next? We're gonna put the trusses on, put the roof on. Anything else? Shingles. Now we can get into all the details. We gotta do the interior decorating right and get the house all plumbed, run the wires, sheetrock, everything. And Jesus likened our life to building a house in the Sermon on the Mount, in the last part of Matthew chapter 7. He says, if you hear these sayings of mine and do them, you're like a man who builds his house on a fountain, on a solid rock. And the storm comes and beats on the house, and the house stands. But if you hear my sayings and you don't do them, you're like a person who builds a house on the sand. And then the storms come and beat on the house, and what does the house do? Crumbles. And guys, right now, at your young age, is the tender age that you are forming the foundation for the rest of your life. Yeah, when you get to be 70 or 80 years old, you can go ahead and put the roof on your house, put the inside, the finishings on the inside. But right now, you're forming the foundation of your character that will determine the direction that you go for the rest of your life. And so right now is a very important time to hear God's voice and to respond. Amen? In fact, I think that's what being a youth is all about. Is learning to hear and know God's will for your life. So this week, my theme is going to be set your target. Tonight I've talked about how if you want to put your target on this world is a worthless place to set your goals, but that's where 99% of the people, they invest in this world. And for the remainder of this week, I'm going to be talking about where we should be putting our goals. Because you're not going to get anything out of life unless you set your goals right and you have a definite aim and a definite purpose for your life. And now's the time to set that purpose. So we're going to be talking about setting your target this week. You guys want something more than this world?
Yes, sir.
I do. I'm not happy with this world. And so let's just pray that this week our lives will be open to God and His Spirit. I had a friend, his name is Justin. And Justin grew up as an Adventist, and he took a wild road. And in Florida, he got mixed up with the wrong crowd, started using the drugs. Before you know it, he was selling them and pulling in a lot of cash. And he was doing this for a long time. And one evening, he was sitting in his apartment. And he had this beautiful glass chandelier hanging over the top of him. And in the parking lot of his apartment, he had a brand new sports car, leather seats, that he had bought with cash. And he had the hottest girlfriend in town. And he had enough meth sitting on the table to kill about 30 people. And he had a huge stack of cash sitting on top, like that. And those are the things people pursue in this world. They pursue popularity and money, attention, and power. And those things will disappoint you. You think, oh, I want to be the hottest girl in town. Let's see how much attention I can get. It leads to disappointment. It will not satisfy you. And so Justin is sitting there, and he has his friend named Jeff. And Jeff steals from people. And he knows that Jeff is coming over, and he got this random thought in his mind. He thought, I bet Jeff is coming over right now to steal everything I got. He thought, I wonder what would happen to Jeff if Jeff had everything that I have. And then he thought, if Jeff had everything I have, he would probably be just as miserable as I am. And in that moment, Justin caught himself and he realized how miserable he was. And he called out to God in that moment. And God led him down a very interesting path, including getting arrested and spending a few years in jail and being miraculously released from jail only after 3 years. And he should have been in jail for 21. And he is now working as a Bible worker in California. And he was one of my best theology friends at Southern. But the point is, when we pursue the world, the things that people want, the things that glitter, when we reach the top of this world, we'll be disappointed. Has nothing to offer. So let's bow our heads right now and ask God into our hearts. Dear Lord, thank you that we can look to you and set our target on something other than this world, which will only disappoint us. And I pray that this week that you would work in our hearts, wean our affections from this world, and help us to love you more. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.